There is a reminder that there are tables in the gym and various items on the left side of the Sunday school area and the narthex that are free to go to a good home if anyone is interested. The items will be thrown away this week if they are not removed. Additionally, there are some German hymnals in a bin in the narthex that are free to take for anybody that wants them. We still have lots left. This week, this coming week, Work Wednesday is being changed to Work Tuesday. So this Tuesday, the items will be removed and the sanctuary will get that ready for the coming indoor services. So keep that in mind that Work Wednesday is now Work Tuesday. Shall we bow for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and ask that you bless us as we enjoy this lovely day and are outside listening and participating in humbling ourselves and glorifying your name. August is quickly drawing to a close, and as we prepare for September and all the busyness that brings with it, let us do it staying humble and keeping you in the forefront of our activities. Be with us as we return to all the regular activities that go along with church, home, and school. Bless us and help to remind us we are Christians in all we do. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Good morning.
No, it's still buzzing.
Buzzing a bit there. There we are. Well, this morning as we do some of these songs together, these are songs that I have known for a long time, and I was playing them this morning, and then I thought, suddenly, I have become old in that I have trouble remembering all the words. So now I have the words in front of me, so hopefully that's helpful for all of us. But we'll start with Blessed Be Your Name. But we're going to start on the bridge, You Give and Take Away.
Give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Sing that again.
You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, but blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm bound in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will sing. Let Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, but blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Now we'll do, Lord, I need you.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Runs deep, your grace is more. The grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me, and where you are, Lord, I am.
So teach my song
to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Thank you.
good, good Father.
Well, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are.
Okay, I think I said we didn't need another microphone, and then I forgot that people share. This is my fault. Are you guys able to get another mic up? I'll switch things up. I'll do the kids' story, then we'll do the prayer. How's that? Okay. This is my fault. You get, again, forgetful. Old age comes for you. Quick.
Just wait. Yeah.
What we're going to do, I'll flip things up then. We're going to do the children's time now. So children, could you please come forward? Oh, we got some.
You're good.
Oh, very nice.
Good friend.
And
you don't get a blanket today.
Did you climb? No, no, okay, here we go. Thank you, guys.
Come on the grassy part, not in the dirt.
Oh, well, we can stand. So, I, again, as always, thank you. My name's Tim. Serve as the pastor here. You may know me. You may recognize me from standing there playing the guitar a few minutes ago. So I have a question. Something is coming up in a few weeks. You guys get to go back to school. Who here is going back to school? Are all of you in school? What grades are you going into?
Grade one.
Grade
three.
Age comes for you quickly, right? The senior of the group. So are you excited for school to start or no? What do you think?
Yes.
Are you excited? All of you are excited. Oh boy, are your parents boring in the summer?
Yes.
No, it's lots of fun. What is the thing that you are looking forward to the most? So think about it and we'll let you in. What are you looking forward to the most about going back to school? What do you think?
Playing with my friends.
Playing with your friends?
Being nice.
You're looking forward to being nice. Oh, that's a good one.
Meeting new friends.
Meeting new friends, yeah.
Meeting my new principal.
Meeting your new principal. Oh, you think you'll be meeting your principal with frequency? Maybe. Well, that's fine. What I like about September is the weather seems like it changes a bit. It gets cooler. I like the rhythm. I used to be a teacher. So like you, I would not look forward to going back to school, but maybe sometimes nice to get the rhythm back in where we get to learn new things. And this also gives us a new opportunity to meet new people and to be kind to them, to watch for people maybe who don't fit in and don't have friends, so we can go and invite them to participate in things. And just all of these opportunities to experience and go and play. Do you think you'll learn anything new this year?
Yeah. I'm convinced
about the teaching system. You think so?
Yes.
Well, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna pray and we're going to thank God that you guys get to go into the schools and show everyone God's love. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are good. Thank you that we have schools. Thank you that we have children and teachers. Bless them as they get ready to go back. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. Thank you for sharing. The stall worked? Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Okay, now we will do our prayer time. So if you have anything that you would like to share, you can share that. We do put this recording online, but it is really mostly only listened to by people connected to our church, and they are also happy if they listen to it to pray for you. But if you have anything you'd like to share, any joys or any concerns, please raise your hand.
Well, just wait and you'll get your mustache candy in a second, okay? Got mustache candies for the kids. Any other kids here? Mustache candy. Okay. Wanted to share, as you see, we have all of our grandkids here today. We're blessed to have them. And whatever, they're active, like normal kids should be. And it tires Oma and Opa out, of course.
Not Oma.
Oh, she'll pay for it later, I know. She'll be so tired. Anyways, we have news that our daughter-in-law of our second child, so we have Tanya, who you see here quite often, and then we have Aaron, and then our youngest is Julie. So Aaron is married to Ashley. That's the mother of the three of the children here. She was diagnosed just this week with breast cancer. Aww. And so the she'll be going through further consultations as to what the procedures will be from there. So we ask for your prayers that God would uphold them and grant them strength for each day. Obviously it's tough, right? When it hits anybody, it doesn't matter where, what age you're at, it's tough. But I guess more so when you have these young children, and we're praying that things will turn out well Otherwise, she's of good health. She never felt any illness, but it is breast cancer. So thank you for that. And her name is Ashley.
All right, thank you, Ed, for sharing. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? All right, well, let's pray together. At the end, I'll invite you to do the Lord's Prayer. We do have that in your bulletin as well, if you're unfamiliar with the words. But you're also welcome to do that in whatever language is the language of your heart, or whatever words you know that in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are near. We thank you that you love each of us right where we are, just as we are, and that you continue to invite us into the fullness of your love, the fullness of that life that shares that love with others in our actions. Lord, we pray for the unspoken prayers amongst our people, those desires, those needs, those hurts whispered in our hearts, those needs and hurts of our neighbors who don't have anyone to share that with. Lord, pray that you would have mercy, that you would meet those needs, that you would work through your people so that we can help bring about the answers to prayer for our community, for others. Lord, we think of all of the troubles through the world, the brokenness, the pain, the sickness, the violence, addiction. Lord, have mercy. Work through the people. Work through the people that you have placed in different situations to start bringing about your new hope, your new life, your peacemaking in the midst of the violence that we continue to see. And Lord, we especially pray alongside Ashley and her family. Be with her, be with Aaron, be with the children. Lord, we pray that you would give her strength, that you would give her hope. We pray, Lord, that your healing hand would be upon her, that you would guide her doctors in wisdom and discernment to make the right choices. And Lord, that in all of this, as she goes through this, we pray that she would be reminded that she is not alone. Lord, may she be even more aware that your Holy Spirit is right alongside her through all of this. Carry her and her family through this difficult time. We pray, Lord, for healing. Friends, I invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, glory forever and ever. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Other are robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
was good to be back home. We were able to go on a little vacation. We saw my brother-in-law and his family in Philadelphia. And great to see the kids run about and play with each other, and to do so in someone else's house where things get broken sometimes, and that's okay. That's somebody else's problem. A reminder that this morning, we're still trying this new thing through the summer. After the message, you'll have an opportunity to ask questions. A reminder that we learn best as a community together, and that it's not just a one-way direction in the message as it goes. Today's passage, showing up right in, I want to say chapter 18, right? Yes, chapter 18 of Luke, is one that only shows up in Luke. This is a story Jesus tells. It doesn't show up in the other Gospels. And it's interesting just how it sits. So we've been going through these stories that Jesus tells in Luke. And what's happened here, we're skipping over a bit. We've had Jesus talk about the kingdom of God. That's the fullness of God's reign and goodness coming to be present on earth. Something that the Jewish people had longed for, right? The people Jesus is with right now as he's telling this story. They're hoping to see Israel restored, to have the oppressors put out. And they've been waiting, waiting, waiting. And so then Jesus tells a story about prayer. And in this story, there's this persistent widow. She's going to a judge, and she's trying to get justice in this court case of hers. She has been treated poorly, and she keeps going, and she's essentially harassing him. And he says, you know what? I wasn't going to find in her favor, but because she's giving me a bad name, she's kind of giving me a black eye, maybe even going to attack me at some point, this lady, I'm going to go and do the right thing. I don't fear God, but I'll do the right thing. And this story reminding us that prayer, as we go to God, we don't have to pester God, but we can go to God with confidence, knowing that God will hear our prayers, that we can go and continue to pray and participate in what God is doing. It is right in the midst of that that Jesus tells this next story. And it says right away who the story is kind of aimed at, right? He's telling this story to a group of people who are very self-confident in their own righteousness. That means they're confident in their own ability that they have made themselves be good people. And it's not just that. It says that they're confident in their own righteousness, their own goodness, their uprightness, and they look down on other people. In the NIV, it kind of softens the language, but it's the same word that would mean despise. They despised these other sinners that were all around them, right? And so Jesus tells this story. And as you hear the story, know that Jesus is a very good storyteller, and he's going to get you, and you'll be caught in the end, and that's okay. So that's my forewarning. So the story goes, there is a Pharisee that is a religious leader, someone who would be upright, very good person. You'd want this person as a neighbor. A Pharisee and a tax collector. They go to the temple. So that means they've traveled all the way to Jerusalem. And they go there to pray. They're taking their concerns to God. So three characters right away. We have the Pharisee, the tax collector, and God receiving these prayers. The Pharisee goes and he says, basically, God, thank you that I'm so great. Thank you that I'm not like these other people. You know, people who steal, who are immoral, who do bad things. Or you know what, like this person beside me, the tax collector. Whew, I'm so glad I'm not like those losers, is essentially what he's saying. And then he goes on to say, because I do all these great things. Right, I'm upright. And he's standing at a distance, as a way of not wanting to be near those other people. He doesn't want to pollute himself with these other sinners. But God, you know, I'm great. I give the amount of money, even more maybe than I need to give. I take this time to fast every week. That's where I don't have food or drink because I pray. I'm just so holy. Thank you, God, for making me so great. And then we see the tax collector. This tax collector, so someone who is participating with the Romans to take money from their own people. Sometimes maybe it's hard to find all the people to tax if you're the Romans, but if you are the local people, you know where everyone's hiding. You get that money, you take a bit more than you need to because some of that's going to you, into your pockets. So tax collectors, much like we don't like them today, were maybe even more so disliked at that time because they're participating with the oppressive Roman army. They're part of the oppression. this tax collector comes, he stands at a distance. He won't go to the closest, best spot to pray. And it says that he kind of beats his chest. He's doing these things saying, I'm really sorry. And he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector actually agrees with the Pharisee's assessment of him. The Pharisee sees this guy is a loser, he's a sinner, he's doing bad things, I'm glad I'm not like them. And the tax collector goes and says, no, I'm a loser doing these bad things I shouldn't be doing. God, I bring nothing to the table, please have mercy on me. I want to repent, beating his chest. I do want to change, but I haven't. And then Jesus closes the story with this interesting bit. So the way that court system would work at that time is you would always have two people presenting their sides of the story, and the judge would pick one of them as the winner. Just like it did in the widow's story happening before, she's saying, you've got to find, bring me justice. Now here, God is saying the one that will have justice, the one that God as judge will go and choose, is God chooses the tax collector over the Pharisee. Why is that? Well, we can see. If we're reading Luke, we're already ready to know that the Pharisee, the religious leaders, they're always the bad guys, right? And didn't he sound so pompous? Didn't he sound so arrogant? And aren't we so glad that we're not like the Pharisee? And oh, did you see how Jesus turned that story around on us? Right there. I'm glad I'm not like the Pharisee. Oh no, I just said the same prayer. That way. This great storytelling of Jesus. You see, the problem comes right away in this passage from this pridefulness. And a pridefulness in such a way that sees ourselves for all of our good, all of the good things only, and sees others maybe for all of just the bad that they do. This pridefulness that, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, let's look at the Pharisee. If this religious person came to our church, we would be really glad that they're here. They give money really well. They are active. They pray. They do all of the right things. They're upstanding citizens. This is great. We would happily take their tithe, right? But even though this Pharisee is doing all of these religious things, his pride in the things that he's doing has done something to his heart. Doing all of those right things wasn't giving him a right heart. He was hating these other people. He was doing all these things in such a way that it was believed at that time that if only we followed the law and did all the right things, and everyone in Israel together did those good things together, that God would restore Israel, the kingdom of God would come that we've been praying for. And you know what's working against the kingdom of God coming? All those people doing the wrong things, those sinners, those tax collectors. If only we all repented together. But Jesus is saying the religiosity of doing those supposedly and actual right things in such a way was changing their hearts to be hateful, to even though they thought they were doing the good things, they were actually working against God's kingdom ways. There's something about religious practices, whether that's in going to church, in praying, in reading our Bibles, there's something about those things that if they become just these practices set to make ourselves feel maybe justified in who we are, that make us feel good about how good and religious we are. There's something about doing those things in that way that actually makes us people who work against the kingdom of God. People who judge others that Jesus wants to invite in to the kingdom and participate. People who judge others who actually have the right heart. It would be curious if only, and this is just a story, but if the Pharisee were able to look beside himself and to see this tax collector as someone to be loved, as a neighbor.
who is able to go in and say, "Brother, why are you so far back beating your chest? How can I help you?" If his heart was like that, do you know what? He would have benefited from participating alongside that tax collector. Because the tax collector needs someone to show him how to do the right things that the Pharisee already knows how to do. That together, in some way, working together, they would have both benefited from this relationship. The sin of the Pharisee, even though he's all religious, keeps him at a distance. But there's something too about what we see coming from the tax collector. The tax collector shows us that when we come to God in prayer, which God invites us to do, this way of having a relationship, of having a conversation, of participating in what God's doing, that we don't have to put on airs. We don't have to have done all the right things first. We don't have to even have repented and fixed our lives before we come there. God wants us to come to God as ourselves. Honest. Humble, recognizing that we're not earning our spot there, that we need God's mercy as much as anyone else. And in this way, we start to have this religion that changes our hearts. Right? Those religious practices that the Pharisee was doing were all good things. But he was doing them in such a way that was pulling him away from God. Those practices meant to bring him closer were pulling him away. When it was connected to his own pride, his own arrogance, his own judging of other people. So that's what Jesus tells the story for. A reminder, again, that it's not so much about just doing all of the right things. It's about doing and believing the right things in such a way that it changes our hearts. God isn't interested in religious people who just do the right things. He's interested in religious people who have the right heart, a heart after Jesus' own heart. How does Jesus love? That is what God desires of God's people. Jesus who approaches people with humility. And if you were to carry on reading this passage, the next part that happens is Jesus telling people, there's these children trying to come to him, and he says, "No, let them come to me. I'm not so important, I'm not so great that I'm only here just for the important people, right? Let the little ones come to me. This is the right place for them." This humility that's continually shown by Jesus. Okay, so what does this passage mean for us? Right? And sometimes passages are a bit difficult. This one's a little bit more straightforward. The first thing that we are reminded of is the value of prayer. The value of prayer as coming to God as who we are. Honest. We're reminded again that God loves us. That God loves you right where you are, just as you are, and invites you to come as you are. The passage implies that the tax collector wants to change, but hasn't changed yet. That's why he's asking for mercy. We don't have to get our lives in order to participate in the kingdom of God. That is something that happens along the way. In fact, if you try to get your life in order all on your own before connecting and trying to follow Jesus, it's not going to work. And you may accidentally end up like the Pharisee. And that's the second thing that really stands out to me in this passage, is for us, the trouble of religion and religious practices. These very things that we hope to do to help us draw closer to the heart of God can sometimes pull us farther away. Is it any wonder that Christians are often more known for having a Bible verse memorized, ready to go, to be hateful, to be judgmental, to push others away, than to be known for our humble, gentle love? If we are known by our neighbors as humble and loving and gentle, that'll change everything in the way that we share our faith. Right? Our neighbors will know the truth. about who we really are, what we believe by our actions and how we love. And the last takeaway I have in this passage comes with judgment. Because judgment is a really difficult word. We want to be non-judgmental people, right? We don't want to be known just for always thinking negatively or judgments, but the challenge comes in that sometimes we sway too far away from the word, because God calls us to make wise judgments of ourselves, knowing that we don't just bring everything good to the table and someone else is all mean. Wise judgments to know how we can go and be like the tax collector, coming to God honestly. And wise judgments maybe to know that we need to not follow those ways of the Pharisee in this passage, right? There's to make a wise judgment is to go and to follow the right path and to invite others into that right path. That will come with humility, gentleness, and love. Because Jesus in this passage is making wise judgments, right? And he calls us to follow him in those ways. Making wise judgments without being judgmental is a difficult path. It's hard to do, but we're reminded that we are judged in the same measure we judge others. How does the Pharisee judge in this story? Harshly. How does the tax collector judge? He looks to his own eyes. He looks to his own life and asks for mercy. May we judge wisely. May you go to God honestly as you are, and may you experience that love and acceptance as you ask for mercy. And may that mercy extend to others. Okay, so I like this passage. It's a fun passage. But does anyone have any questions that came out of this message or out of the passage or the surrounding areas? Then we do have a microphone. No question. It was just obviously so clear. I just nailed it.
You did a good job.
I most certainly did not. All right, well, we will do one more song. So I invite you to turn on your single page there to They'll Know We Are Christians.
Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And
will guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you experience the mercy of God and extend that to others. May others know Jesus because of how you love them. Go in God's peace. Amen.